Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of Lucy Talks. I'm your host, Lucy Woodward, and I'm so excited to have you listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoy it. Lucy Talks is designed for meaningful conversations about things that really matter in life. From climate change to confidence, from mental health to happiness, I hope this podcast helps you find something you're looking for. Hi Aidan, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm all good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. So for anyone listening, this is our very last day in our student house. We've got like half more day tomorrow, but last night,
yeah,
feeling all the feels.
All feeling a bit strange, isn't it?
It is really weird. Yeah. So we've been like packing up this afternoon, moving everything out.
Just said goodbye to our housemate Tom as well.
Yeah,
it's down to four people.
It's sad, like moving out of, because I've lived here for 3 years. You've lived here for 1 year.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's an emotional time. And we've obviously known each other since first year.
So. Yeah, known each other since first year, met in Willoughby Hall. Mm-hmm. And yeah, been friends ever since.
Mm-hmm. I feel really lucky that we've like had our whole group has kind of, for the most part, like stayed so intact even since we literally met in the first week of first year. And it's been so good. So.
Yeah, yeah. End of an era for sure.
It really is. So yeah, in this episode we're going to have a little bit of a chat about uni and yeah, just our experiences, particularly Aidan's experiences, as everyone listening probably knows quite a bit about mine already. So if you want to kind of introduce like your degree and yeah, a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'll give myself a bit of an introduction. So yeah, as Lucy said, I'm Aidan. I've just come to the end of studying 4 years of Hispanic studies. So that's obviously the Spanish language, and I also studied sort of history and literature. So it was basically everything to do with the Spanish speaking world. And I was lucky enough as well in my third year to go on a year abroad, which I think we're going to talk a little bit about later. So yeah, that's me, basically.
Yeah, we can start on Spain. So we had pretty much a whole year of COVID in second year, very strange isolation year. And then, yeah, heading off to Spain, how did you feel kind of the change from being in pretty much a full lockdown to then actually being allowed to go, I guess was quite a thing in itself. But then how was it like moving out there on your own?
Yeah, do you know what? It was all dead strange. I mean, it was in the balance of whether I was even gonna go or not, because it was just sort of when everything was reopening that I went. Obviously the year before me, they weren't able to go. So it felt, I suppose, really daunting. I didn't know what to expect on a personal level, but also on a COVID level. I didn't know what I'd be met with, whether I'd be stuck in Spain even for a period of time, whether, you know, coronavirus would get worse again. But it's quite boring talking about coronavirus. we don't need to root all that back up. So yeah, I guess, no, I was definitely excited and scared all at the same time, a real mix of emotions, because I was actually living on my own for the whole year, so I didn't know how that would be after only ever having shared a house. I was working as an English language assistant in a primary school, so I didn't know whether I would get on with the school. Luckily I did. I didn't know whether the staff would be nice, how they'd treat me. So I suppose there were lots of unknowns, but also lots of opportunity to explore and basically to just have one big adventure for a year. And it was great. I had a great time.
I feel like that kind of mirrors where we are now with having so many unknowns ahead of us. Like, it's really exciting, but then just, yeah, there's a lot of things that you aren't sure how it's going to go, and a bit scary in that as well, I guess.
Definitely. I think I definitely learned on my year abroad just to sort of go with the flow. I definitely gained a lot of independence, a lot of confidence in myself. And upon leaving Nottingham, which has felt very safe, it's been a big sort of, there's been a safety net around us. But I think being removed from that on my year abroad, I'm definitely going to take things that I learned from that experience forward with me, mm-hmm. moving into sort of like the big wide world.
It's scary. And I feel like this is a bit of a little time capsule of how we're feeling like right at this moment. So for anyone listening, like, we're going traveling from start of August until middle of December.
Yeah. Long time.
Long time. We've got all that ahead of us. It's obviously really, really exciting and so lucky to go, but it is like a real mix of emotions. You said you like took some things away with you. What would you say were, what was the biggest change from the start of you moving out to Spain to you coming home at the end of the year, would you say?
I think I had a lot more confidence in myself, in general, in my... as obviously more specifically as well in my language speaking ability, and just that experience of being thrown in at the deep end. I think you grow a lot as a person, because in a sense you're forced to. It's kind of like fight or flight,
yeah.
sort of thing. Like you're in a different country, you have to survive, and you know, you work things out how you go along, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that experience of sort of navigating that definitely gave me a lot more confidence moving forward.
That's so good. And I guess like then moving back into academics and like life at Nottingham this year, very different year to second year.
Yeah.
How did you feel kind of getting stuck back into that? Was it hard to like get back into academics because you were teaching and stuff like that?
There was definitely a difference, because I was working for the entire year and I was apprehensive moving back to like sort of having to write essays, pieces of coursework. Even this year I've had written exams at the end of the year and I haven't done those since A-level. So I was thinking, oh, how am I going to get back into sort of having to wake up for lectures? I mean, I suppose I did have to wake up in time for work each day, but it was just... Yeah, I was definitely apprehensive about having to sort of get my academia hat back on again.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I really enjoyed getting stuck back into it, because it was my first, this year was my first entirely sort of normal year,
mm-hmm.
which was great. It was really good.
I think that is, it just makes such a difference having in-person connections. And even like the people that you don't necessarily meet up with outside of your course or society or whatever it is, like that adds so much to your experience without you even noticing. So
it was great. And not just the academia side of things, like I do a cappella, so that was all running, which was great. So I was able to do that in person after previously having to do it virtually. So yeah, I feel like I've had the real deal this year in terms of the uni experience, which has been great.
Mm-hmm. I think from an outside perspective, you are someone who has a really good work-life balance. You are really good at like getting down to it when you need to, and you value that and like value your language learning and stuff like that, but also you know how to have fun. And I feel like that is something that I've really enjoyed about living with you, is just the fact that you can just, you know, you always say like it's balance. Like,
yeah,
you wanna have equally like having a good time and doing stuff that's meaningful. So yeah, that's definitely something that I think I have found in the past that I don't really do. I'll tend to get really in the zone with academics and then forget about everything else. But I like that you can you know, let your hair down a bit as well. So as we mentioned, we are kind of embarking on a pretty big trip around the world.
Big old trip.
Not very long. It's like five weeks today, actually.
5 weeks today. Yeah, crazy, really.
So we're flying out to Bangkok on the 1st of August and then kind of travelling around Southeast Asia. Do you want to give a little rundown of the places that we're going to?
Can do. So we'll be starting in like... Northern Thailand for the first month, and then we're going to, oh my goodness, I can never remember, we're starting in Cambodia, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's going Cambodia, Vietnam. Are we doing Bangkok before that, aren't we?
Yeah, Bangkok.
So doing the typical like tourist circuit, if you like, Southeast
Proper
Asia, and then we're meeting a couple more friends and going down to the South Islands in Thailand.
Yeah. I've been watching loads of travel vlogs recently. It just looks absolutely gorgeous.
Like, yeah, it's going to be so nice. And then we're going down to Malaysia, which actually I don't know a lot about Malaysia.
No, neither.
I need to do a bit more research. So it'd be really cool to get to know that place as well. And then we're going to go to Indonesia. East Java and Bali, just something we're really excited about. We're going to walk up a volcano.
Called, what's it called, Mount Bromo, and I found it online and it just looks absolutely stunning. It's like this, I don't know if it's active or not. Is it an active volcano?
I think so. So hopefully we don't get, like,
fingers crossed,
blown up.
But yeah, then we're doing Bali and Australia. So it's like a proper trip, and I've never done anything like this before. I know that you've had experiences, particularly as a kid, and also you went to Peru last year. How do you feel that that is going to prepare you for this?
So yeah, I went to Peru last year with my friend, and I suppose since I was born I've always been lucky enough to be exposed to a lot of travel, which I think has really put me sort of in good stead for this trip. I feel like I know my way around airports. I'm good, I think, at just embracing it and embracing the different cultures and everything. Just because I was, like, basically, I was taught that from such a young age, so...
Can you talk about your experiences travelling with your family when you were little?
Yeah, my parents, before they even had any kids, I was their first one, but before they even had kids on board, they loved travel. My mum's always been a bit, like, sort of nomadic, I guess. Like, she was born in Peru... and she's always loved traveling around. So when they had kids, I'm one of three boys, they took us around as well. And really memorably, when I was four and my brother was two, my dad took sort of like 6 months off work and we went all around the world. We went to Australia, America, I think we went to Singapore, Peru, just loads and loads of places, which obviously as a four-year-old I don't remember loads of, but it's just an absolute blessing. Yeah, they've really passed on their love of traveling to me. And even in more recent years, been to places like Canada, all over the place, which is an absolute privilege, but I'm so grateful to have been exposed to that.
Yeah,
and it's something I'll definitely keep.
That
travel bug.
Yeah. No, you definitely have the travel bug. Like,
definitely.
I think your point about being able to be quite flexible and just, you know, go with the flow is...
Just relax into it.
It's such a good trait to have, I think, when travelling. I think I can be a bit, like, like to plan it out, but it's kind of...
Yeah, we'll balance each other out, exactly.
Yeah. But I'm excited to be... I think I trust you a lot, so I'm excited to, like... not be scared. Well, true. But yeah, I feel like the attitude that you have of kind of living in the present and like just taking things as they come has been something that you've learnt from your experiences up till now, like of travel. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not just through that, there've been other sort of experiences in life that have definitely taught me that it's important just to live in the present and live life to the full, because who knows what could happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
I should mention, I was supposed to be starting a PGC in September, at UCL, but then something just switched in my brain and I thought, when else, am I going to have the opportunity to do this? Yeah. When else am I going to have the freedom? So I thought, no, do you know what? PGC, that can wait. I'm just going to do it. It'll always be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it next year, next September. That can wait. I'm going to put that to one side and just enjoy myself while I can, while I've got the freedom.
And I love you. So you don't take that too seriously. Like that decision, some people might attach too much meaning to it and be like, oh, like, is this the right thing to do, am I kind of, you know, slacking off or whatever, but it's definitely not that. It's such a, you're like taking the opportunity and not letting yourself be too scared by it.
I mean, I did doubt my decision numerous times.
Yeah.
But I've come around to it. It's definitely for the best, 100%.
Absolutely. So we've kind of shared that we're pretty excited about some things. Like, mm-hmm. what would you say is the part of travel or the maybe the destination that you're most excited about?
Most excited. I mean, I'm totally open to be completely surprised by somewhere that like I did not expect like much from. But I think in my head, Vietnam.
Yeah.
From what I've seen of Vietnam, it's supposed to be gorgeous. I'm also personally really excited about the Thai Islands.
Yeah.
All of it, Lucy. It's, I mean, so Australia cool, looks it? Good as well. It's so I'm just like gonna end up listing. I'm just gonna end up listing all the places we're going.
Yeah. I know. It's just such a cool thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still processing, and like having been packing up everything here, I'm just like more and more realizing how soon it is and how cool it is. Like, we're going away for such a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been away from the country for longer than 3 weeks before. So this is like, I'm not too daunted by it, but I just think it is a big thing.
Definitely, 100%.
Mm. Exciting. So do you think that given that it is sometimes a little bit stressful or tiring during travelling, do you reckon like there's going to be any challenging moments or like testing moments, and how do you reckon we're going to navigate that?
Yeah, I imagine we'll have our pinch points. I'm sure. So. I think space.
Mm.
I think that's a really good like sort of coping strategy, like acknowledging when you need like 5 minutes to yourself, because like it's intense, like. What we're doing is going to be really intense, and like we're bound to get tired, and just acknowledging, just when to say, right, I need to like just remove myself because it's all getting a bit much.
Yeah.
And just take like half an hour to yourself just to like regroup and then reset, I guess.
Yeah. And I think not taking that personally, like if one of us is saying, oh, we need a bit of space for a bit, like that's not about the other person, it's just it's just needing a bit of time to recharge, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I'll find challenging is not having a base, and I think
that's so true.
It's gonna be slightly strange, like not having a place to come back to. We'll have that to an extent in August because we're just staying with Sophie and Freya, but after that, we're going to be very much like all over the place.
It's going to be like, I just want my bed. Yeah. I'm sure we'll be dreaming of just sleeping in our own bed at some point.
Yeah. It's going to be an adjustment to like not have a home, if that makes sense. How do you think you might find home whilst on the road?
I don't know. I feel like it's something I don't massively think about until like I sort of stop. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like I don't really have a base. Mm. But I think a good way of like coping with it is just grounding yourself by sort of making a note of what you've been doing.
Yeah, each I'm excited week, to document it actually.
Or something like that. Just a way of like coming back to like something familiar, such as writing a journal, like sitting down each week and jotting some notes down.
Mm.
I think that's a good way of sort of like making yourself feel more at ease.
Yeah, and having a kind of a system to, or I guess a routine of doing that creates routine, a sense of home in a way.
Yeah, because home life is obviously based a lot around routine.
Mm.
So having that would definitely be helpful, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited to like make little videos as well about that, and I know I did that recently for the Three Peaks.
Yeah.
It was really fun, like seeing people react to it and be like, "Oh, that looked like you had a great time," and just having that to look back on is really nice. I'm excited to, make all these little videos and to be able to look back next year and be like, oh my God, look how much we did and how cool that was.
Yeah, and tons of photos, obviously.
Yeah. So yeah, I mentioned Three Peaks. Recently, we did the Three Peaks Challenge, the Yorkshire Three Peaks for the MS Society. And that's like a 24 miles, 25 miles. Pretty long.
Yeah, 24, 25. Yeah. It's like just under a marathon, isn't it?
Yeah, a really long hike around the Yorkshire Dales. And it was so much fun. It was like a lot busier than I thought it was going to be.
Really. Yeah, so busy. There were tons of people. It's the three tallest peaks in Yorkshire, isn't it? In the Yorkshire Dales.
Mm. So yeah, it was a great day. We did it with our friends Matt, Jack, Kapu, Jacob, and then it was us two.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, loved it. You can go and check out that video if you want. And I know that the MS Society is really close to your heart. I wonder if you'd mind touching on how you, like, why you think that charity is so important.
Yeah, so as Lucy said, we were walking the Yorkshire Three Peaks for the MS Society, and my dad got diagnosed with MS back in the January of, I think it was our second year here at Nottingham. And he's had a really, really rapid deterioration, actually. But the MS Society, they do absolutely fabulous work to support people with MS, using money for sort of research, because there's currently no cure for the disease, so there's constantly sort of research going on in possible cures. They're discovering things all the time. There's more and more medication and trials going on just as we speak, basically. But yeah, it's something that's very important. And also I think fundraisers really make a difference to my dad as well, that he really, really appreciates it. And you know, it's stuff that he would do if he could. So kind of like living those experiences through us, is something that he really like holds close.
Absolutely. And I know when you mentioned when you made that decision to go traveling rather than doing your PGC this year, I know that your dad had an influence in that as well.
I definitely just, I think he was so active, and if you don't know anything about MS, it really affects your movement. It really, really affects my dad's walking. He relies on a wheelchair now. His dexterity in his hands is not great. So it's really, really limiting. And for someone who was so active and always loved getting away, that's really challenging. But he's definitely passed on sort of an attitude to me of, like, I guess, just to do things in the moment, just live in the moment, do things while you can, and make memories. Because we made so many memories when my dad was able to do these things. We were fortunate enough to be able to make so many memories. And it's so, so important to just not take that for granted.
You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. And it's important just to do as much as you can, really. Make the most of life, I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can see that his influence is really, you know, it shines through in you. And I think, obviously, I don't know your dad nearly as well as you do, but having stayed at your home a couple of times and, you know, meeting your parents on a few occasions, I have a huge respect for your parents and how they've handled the whole situation. It's not an easy thing to go through. And I think that despite it being such a horrible, horrible condition and so much has changed, like, your dad's attitude is so admirable. And when we were doing the Three Peaks, he'd written out little like notes for us at the top of each peak, did. Which was so sweet.
It's really nice. So nice.
Very, very moving and very motivating as well, because that's the reason we did it. And that's why it's so important, because, you know, we have the able bodies to be able to do that and to use that to, you know, it was obviously very challenging, but to be able to then, you know, give back to the MS Society, and that money will have a huge impact on actual people's lives, I think.
Absolutely.
Can quite easily get, you know, detached from the fact that when you give money to charity, it actually really does make a difference in people's lives, but
yeah,
I feel like you have that personal connection and it really does mean stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think that attitude of, you know, living life fully, and you don't know what's going to happen. You really can't predict anything, and I think we always take so much for granted, even I guess time at university.
Absolutely, it's just flown by, hasn't it?
Absolutely flown by. I wonder if you have any reflections on yourself in first year, like little you moving into halls. How, like, is there any advice that you would give your little self moving into halls?
Gosh. Just make the most of it.
Yeah.
Make the most of it. 'Cause, like, literally, no one can understand, unless they've gone through it, how fast the time goes at university. Like, we've done 4 years as well. Even 4 years has just absolutely flown by, and here we are moving out tomorrow, and it's just like, what the heck has happened over the past 4 years? It's unbelievable. And just like, get stuck in, join the societies, and just do as much as you can, like, maximize university life, because it's an experience you won't forget, really. It's awesome.
For sure. And it is a really good opportunity to expand, like, your interests and expand your confidence, like you were saying, going to Spain.
Yeah.
And I think you don't necessarily get that again, like, later in life.
It's,
there's a lot more pressure, a lot more responsibility.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, what we'll be doing in 5 years' time, or even, like, a year's time, to be honest. I mean, like,
who knows?
Literally, who knows? There's so much that we actually don't know at this point.
But both got a bit of a love for London, haven't we?
But yeah, yeah.
Apart from that, I mean, who knows? We might not even end up in London.
No, yeah.
But, yeah.
Anything can happen.
Anything could happen.
But, yeah, it feels very bittersweet to be leaving. I feel quite...
It does.
...sad of, like, taking all my photos down from my notice boards, and, like, all my little prints over there have gone. And it just is... Yeah, it's quite a big moment, like, end of an era.
Yeah, just try not to think about it, and then we'll leave, and then we'll all be like, oh, I'm not actually coming back.
Yeah.
Because all the previous years, we've just come back in September, and it's been all good. Seen each other again.
Absolutely.
There we are in Ocean, Rock City, living life. And it's all coming to an end.
I know. So, yeah, if anyone's got any advice for dealing with, like, post-grad life, then hit us up. We'd love to hear it. But yeah, I'd like to finish, if that's okay, by asking you the question that I ask to everyone that I invite on the podcast, which is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I think some of the best advice I could think of is trust your gut, for sure. It's what I did coming to Nottingham University, because that path wasn't, like, the smoothest it could have been. It's what I did deciding to go travelling as well. Because I remember I just didn't know. I went through the whole process of applying for UCL and accepted my offer. But then there was, in my gut, I was thinking, no, do you know what?
Something's not quite right.
Something's not quite right. And I followed that gut instinct, and... I'm really happy I did. I think everything finds a way of working out. That's something my parents always say to me, and that will always stick with me as well. I think just gotta trust the process, trust your gut, and everything will work out fine. That's my attitude anyway.
I love it. And that is, like, such a you piece of advice. It's so, it just, if you could sum up Aidan in a little bit of advice, that would be it. And I love that. I love being around that kind of attitude, because it's just such a, it's just really positive. And, you know, let's go of all the worries and stuff. So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing all your experiences. And
you're welcome.
Coming on the podcast and having a chit chat. Yeah, I am going to be sad leaving here tomorrow, but I don't know about you.
Same, honestly.
I feel like we've come a long way, though, since the start of the year. Like, I was saying to Freya at the start of the year, like, I'm really excited to get to know Aidan better. It's going to be...
Because
I think before this year, we hadn't really had a chance to properly get to know each other.
We didn't really have the opportunity, did we? Because, I don't know, well, second year we weren't living together, and it was obviously COVID and all that.
Yeah.
Then I went away and like we just didn't have the chance. No. It's been lovely. It's been so nice.
Very grateful and like only good things ahead, so you know.
Absolutely. Onwards.
Let's see what shenanigans we get up to.
Lots of shenanigans, I'm sure.
An eye on each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for listening, and I will be back again next week with another episode, so stay tuned for that. Bye from me, and...
Bye from me too.
Bye.